Every responsible head of a household here has a will. If you are the head of a household and you do not have a will, you are functioning irresponsibly. And while it may be somewhat touchy to think of putting together a will which forces us to face our own mortality, not having one won't change anything. Life is still short. In that will, you will control what happens to your resources for the future. You'll say who gets the house or the car or the different accounts. You will determine how things are paid forward because it's in your will. You will establish through the willing process an inheritance for those who will be the partakers of what your death provides. Your death through the will become a provision for other things going to loved ones. God has a will. It's called a covenant. It was God's way of sending forth the future. That's why that word is so dominant in Scripture. This word, the covenant, the covenant, the covenant. It was God creating something to pay forward his promises to his people in the future. These promises came to be known as blessings. The word blessings in the Bible referred to what God was going to provide for his people so that they could fulfill his purposes in history. That was the blessing. In Old Testament theology, people live for the blessing. Oh, to not have the blessing was to not have life itself. To not have something passed on to you from God through the family structure, typically, or its spiritual counterpart, was to not live. It became apparent to me that the large part of our men who were sitting in church every week had never been blessed. And it's hard to pass on what you've never had. It's hard to pass on a blessing to your children if you don't know what one is and you don't know how to transfer it. And you know what happens to a person that doesn't have a will? That stuff is up for grabs. Because there's nothing that's been documented that has guided it to where it's supposed to go. As I look at the mess as we go into these public schools, it's dawned on me, we got a generation of children who've never been blessed. And you can always know when somebody's been blessed because they're future oriented. A person that hasn't been blessed, everything is now. They're cotton candy Christians. Or they don't even know the meaning of blessing. That's all why they're always talking about a new car, new clothes, new house, better bank account, new career, because that's cotton candy blessing. In other words, those things which are legitimate and valid in the Bible were the fruit, not the root of a blessing. And so it's dawned on me that we got a generation that haven't been blessed. I was watching CNN last night. And CNN came on with these 11 and 12-year-old prostitutes. These 11 and 12-year-old prostitutes. And the lady, their faces were hidden, of course, because of their age. And the interviewer said, "Why do you do this?" And the girl said, "Because I'm just looking for somebody to love me. I am so desperate for a blessing. A transference of love to me, that if I've got to sell my body at 11 years old, I will do it because I'm desperate." The blessing in the Bible was typically passed down through the father. So then, as we said on Father's Day, if I was the devil, I'd get rid of the dads so I could stifle the transfer of the blessing. So here's what we're going to do today. I'm going to explain the blessing. And I don't want anybody to leave here today unblessed who want to be blessed. If you're here today and you might be unblessed, then we want to fix that today so that not only you can have it, but so you can give it. Because the blessing wasn't just for you to get. The blessing was also for you to give. How important was this thing called the blessing? So important that in Genesis 27, Esau was begging for it. He says at the end of verse 35, "Bless me, even me, oh my father." In verse 36, the last line, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Verse 38, "Bless me, even me, oh my father." So Esau lifted up his voice and he wept. To not be blessed would make a grown man cry. Esau is 40 years old. He's a 40-year-old middle-aged man, to use our age criteria today, begging, "Daddy, bless me." There's some 40-year-olds in here who are still waiting for somebody to bless them. And so you've taken every definition of manhood available, and you're still looking for a blessing. How serious was this thing called the blessing? You'll see in verse 41. "So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, 'The days of mourning for my father are near, then I will kill my brother.'" How important was the blessing? You kill over it. So we ain't talking about a new car, or back then a new chariot, a new horse, a new tent. This thing of the blessing was far more than that. And if all you're doing is showing up in church for that, you ain't come for the right thing. You come for the fruit, not the root. You come for some cotton candy. And that's why folk who have a lot of stuff without the blessing are miserable people. That's why all them folk in Hollywood spend all that money for analysts every week. They can pay for it. But what they haven't been is blessed. They have misunderstood stuff, which is not wrong in itself, but they misunderstood it for blessing. How important is this thing? Look at the many times it shows up in chapter 27, verse 4, end of the verse. "Bless me before I die." Verse 10, "That he may bless you before his death." Verse 12, "I will bring upon you a curse and not a blessing." Verse 19, "That you may bless me." Verse 25, "That I might bless you." Verse 27, "He blessed him." Verse 27, "The Lord has blessed." Over and over, blessed, 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 blessed. What was this blessing? In summary, it was experiencing and enjoying and extending the covenantal promises of God for your life. It was experiencing, enjoying, and extending, passing on the promises of God for your life. The blessing was when God was operating for them. The curse was when God was operating against them. It was an umbrella that no matter what rain showers were around them, they were undercover. You walk around with an umbrella, and that umbrella signifies you're undercover. It may be storming, it may be raining, it may be pouring, but it doesn't define you because you're undercover. You got a covering over you. You say, "But that's Old Testament." No, not quite. The Bible says when people come to the communion, they pick up the cup of blessing. He calls it the new covenant. See, if all you're doing is taking a wafer and drinking some juice, you miss it. At that table is where you call forth the promises of God to you, because you in the will. You're in the will, see, because the covenant is the will. Passing through the will are the promises. I have a will, and in my will, when something happens to me, is stated. What each child receives, and each child receives something in the will, is passed on based on the birth. Let me tell you why Esau lost his blessing. It's critical. The Bible says, chapter 25, he gave up his birthright. Look at chapter 25. I want you to understand the blessing. Verse 30. Esau said to Jacob, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff, for I am famished. Jacob was making stew in the kitchen. Esau came in, smelt it, and said, I need some of that red stuff, the stew you're making. I'm hungry. Jacob said, first, sell me your birthright. Now, that's a lot to ask for a bowl of stew. He said, let me sell me your birthright, and I'll give you some stew. Esau said, I'm about to die, so what use then is my birthright to me? I ain't getting ready to die. I'm so hungry. And Jacob said, first swear to me. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and a lentil of stew, and he ate and drank and rose up and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. What was your birthright? The oldest son got a double inheritance of everything that the father left behind. He got a double inheritance. Jacob says, sell me your position, and I'll give you something to eat. The Bible says Esau thought so little of his birthright that he was willing to sell it for some stew. But what Esau forgot is that when you give up your birthright, you give up your blessings. See, to say I don't want the will is to say I don't want the stuff in the will, and the blessings are in the will. The blessings had to do with what the Father was passing forward. God had told Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation. From you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Abraham had a boy. Abraham told his boy, God told me, Isaac, that he was going to make of me a great nation. You're my boy, my legitimate son, so that's going to come through you. Boy, you got a future. Abraham was supposed to tell Esau, boy, you're going to be something else. Because God told Abraham he was going to make of him a great nation. I'm the son of Abraham. You're my son. Boy, you are going somewhere. Esau sold his somewhere for some stew. A lot of us have sold our birthright and want to know why we can't find a blessing. You see, if you disconnect from your birthright, that's why people will say they will disown children and take them out of the will. When you disconnect from your birthright, you disconnect from your blessing. What was in this blessing? Here it is, verse 28 and 29. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's son bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. Let me tell you what's in the blessing. It's in every blessing, and it is what we're going to leave everybody who needs a blessing. This is what you're going to leave with. You will leave with a special future. A blessing meant a special God designed, custom designed future. He says to Jacob, who he thinks is Isaac, because Jacob has tricked him, he says to Jacob, let me tell you about your future. Because a blessing talked about the future. Yeah, there was stuff in the present, but the blessing was the future. Where God is taking you. We've got a generation of people with no future. And because they don't see a future, everything is now, right now. I gotta have it now. And they will do whatever it takes, even mess up their lives so they can have it now. Because they have no sense that God is up to something, that they have a destiny. That's why people don't know who they are, where they're going, when they're going to get there. They have no sense that I have a significance so deep that God has even covered my future, which means he's covered everything till I get to it. See, he's not only covered where I'm going, he's covered my road trip there into the place he is taking me. Let's break it down a little bit more. A caterpillar has a special future. Every caterpillar has a glorious future. I mean, it may be slow and slimy. It may be ugly until it cocoons and establishes its birthright. Once the caterpillar establishes its birthright, once the caterpillar establishes its ultimate reason for existence, as long as the caterpillar saying, I'm living for now, it's always going to be slow and slimy. But once it establishes what it's really born to do, and that is give birth to something more significant, more substantive, and it cocoons, and all of a sudden, inside slowness and ugliness is beauty. Inside this slimy little creature is somebody who's going to take flight to the sky. See, a lot of us have had a caterpillar existence. We've been grounded by our background, grounded by our circumstances, grounded by our upbringing, grounded by a no-caring deadbeat dad, grounded by an insensitive mom, grounded by relatives who abused us, who called us names and misused us. But let me tell you about your birthright. Because the moment that you accepted Jesus Christ into your life and were born again, that's your birthright. You were born again. God started the process of creating a butterfly. The problem is you can get so used to being a caterpillar so long that you don't even think that you could ever be a butterfly. But a butterfly is your birthright. It is the transformation that caterpillar has a glorious future. Let's look at the future. He says, look, three things, Jacob. And he thinks he's talking to Esau because he's been tricked. But he says three things. The first thing is divine provision. He says in verse 28, the dew from the heaven will fall, and of the fatness of the earth, an abundance of grain and new wine. In other words, heaven is going to rain down what you need to get the promises of God fulfilled. I don't care how hard you work the earth. If there is no rain from heaven, nothing's going to grow. Some of us are working hard to make something of our lives. We're working hard to give ourselves a future. We're making hard to get something done in our lives. We wonder why nothing is growing. If there is no rain from heaven, it doesn't matter how hard you work on earth, nothing is going to grow. If heaven doesn't visit earth, there are no vegetables. If heaven doesn't visit earth, there is no grain. If heaven doesn't visit earth, there is no fruit. There is no grass for the livestock to eat so that the cows can give milk. If heaven does not visit earth, earth can't show up with anything. A lot of us wonder why everything on earth is not working out, because we've not yet gotten a visit from heaven, which is in the will. It's in the covenant. It's part of the blessing. He says, this blessing means that heaven is going to visit you. That's why God told him, he says, now, I want you to leave Egypt, and I want you to go to the promised land. He says, now, when you get to the promised land, here's what you're going to find. You're going to find a land flowing with milk and honey. That means highly productive. You're going to find, when you get to your future, you're going to find I've already gone ahead of you to your future. There are some sinners in there, but while the sinners are occupying the territory, I'm going to tell them to dig some wells. While the sinners are occupying the territory, I'm going to tell them to plow the fields. While the sinners are occupying the territory, I'm going to tell them to plant some grapes. So that when you arrive, stuff has already been taken care of. Heaven will have already visited earth, and earth will have been produced, so that you're going to arrive to stuff that you didn't know existed. And when you get there, it's going to be more than you expected. He says heaven is going to visit earth, and earth is going to produce that which you need to see the promises of God fulfilled in your life. Second, spiritual authority. He says in verse 29, the people will serve you. The nations will bow down to you. You will be master. He says, you're going to have authority. Everybody's been given a garden. Like Adam, a place over which you are to rule. Using your gifts, your talents, your skills, and the opportunities that God brings you, everybody here has a garden. There's no Christian here that has not been given a garden, a place where God wants to root you in order to service his kingdom and to service you for good and to be a blessing to others. Everybody in here has a garden, a place over which you function as master. A place where you call the shots. And he says, and I'm going to make sure when I take you to where I'm taking you, that you are running your garden. One of the greatest things in the world is to know that there is a place for you. That you are not a mistake. You're not an evolutionary mishap. There is a place for you. God didn't just leave you here to wander and to just go around bouncing around like a pinball machine. There is a place for you to master. There is an area where he wants you to control. He has given you gifts, skills, and time, and he wants you to use that for the mastering purposes for which he's given it. That is a secure place. It is a secure place to know that God has a place for me. So for you to get me out of my place, you have to overrule God. That is a secure place to be. That you have to slap God to get me. Because he says, in the place I'm putting you, you will master that place. And that's the bad thing about folk getting in places that they're not theirs. Because now you don't have any, you're not under the umbrella, see? Because God is only going to give you the umbrella in the places he's provided you. See, that's why I never have to worry about being voted out. Because if I am, it won't matter. If I'm ever voted out for an illegitimate reason, it really won't matter. Because that means that this is not my final place of mastery. See, that's all that means. That means I move on. So that means I can say what I want and not be scared what people think. If it's true to the word of God, I don't be scared about what people think because what is my garden, I get to master it. And so I assume that. I go in that. You know what that does? That makes you free. That makes you free from threats and folks saying, well, if you don't do it my way, all right. Because I have my garden and God's governing that garden and I'm supposed to master the garden that he's governing, that he's put me over. And you have one too. That's the blessing. That's a little bit more than having a little money and driving a nicer car that's depreciating. That is a positioning in life. Not only that, he says, and I will curse those who curse you and I will bless those who bless you. That's divine protection under the umbrella. If they come after you, they just came after me. And if they for you, they for me. Look, you know how long they've been trying to get rid of Israel? They've been trying to knock Israel into the Mediterranean. Israel is a little tiny country surrounded by millions and millions and millions of people who can't stand them. They have tried to get rid of Israel, and every time they try, they fail. How can this little teeny country, surrounded by all these other nations who hate their guts, still survive when they got that much hatred surrounded on all sides? Because God said, I'm going to curse those who curse you, and I'm going to bless those who bless you. Because they're under the umbrella. And even though they're in disobedience right now through the rejection of Christ, he still made a promise regarding the land. And he said, and I have you under my umbrella. And while they may make you shake a little bit, they are never going to be able to destroy you because my covenant, you in my will. Isn't that a free position? To know that when somebody comes after you, they're coming after God. Isn't that what David said when he met Goliath? You just came after God. The battle is the Lord's. God, he talking about you. In other words, blessing had to do with positioning of your future. It made you significant. It made you special. Here's what you have when you have a blessing. Something to look forward to. We've got a generation of people with nothing to look forward to. They have no sense of destiny. They have no sense of future because they haven't been given it. But we can't expect them to have been given it because nobody gave it to their mama and daddy. There are a bunch of adults here who still looking for your blessing. You still looking for somebody to tell you you mean something. For somebody to tell you you're significant. For somebody to tell you you have a future. For somebody to tell you you're not a chance happening, but you've been positioned and put together by Almighty God for some special meaning, some special purpose. And you're not a nobody. You're not a nothing. You are a king of God. You are a queen. You are a prince or a princess. You know, a generation of boys haven't been blessed when they walk around with pants around their ankles. They walk around with pants around their ankles. And they call it cool. That's being hip. Here we are with a generation of boys sagging and think it's good. It's not only that they're doing it, it's what they think about it. We got a generation of girls dressing like hoochie mamas. But when you look at their mamas dressing like hoochie mamas, then you understand that all they are reflecting the emptiness. What they're doing is saying, somebody look at me. Somebody pay attention to me. Somebody say something to me that makes me feel significant and special. Somebody's, even if you have to use me up, somebody pay attention to me. Somebody stop and stare me down. Somebody say, you sure look good, girl. And even though I've got to compromise my virtue and compromise my morality, if I could just, for God's sake, get somebody to say I have something of value. All they're saying is, can somebody bless me? Can somebody bless me? Can somebody let me know that I mean something, that there is substance and significance? Oh, for a blessing. He's 40 years old, and he's begging for a blessing. Esau has money. Esau's not poor, because Isaac is not poor. He's got money. It says Esau had servants. So, I mean, you know, he got a posse. What he doesn't have is a blessing. He has nothing to look forward to. Nothing. No future. And when you don't have a future, all you get to do is exist. You get to go from day to day to day. And here it is. You are, here it is, trying to make it. Because you don't have a future. You don't have anything out there that has wrapped itself around you, that has pulsating in your bones, because God has dubbed you as unique, one of a kind, fearfully and wonderfully made, substantive. We have a generation of boys who need to know you don't have to be a thug to be somebody. You don't have to be a pimp to be significant. Generation of girls who can say, if you're not going to treat me like a princess and talk to me like a queen, then we don't have anything to conversate about. Because that's who I am. I got blessed by my mama, by my daddy, by my church. And when they blessed me, they told me I was a princess, a queen in waiting. Therefore, if you're going to treat me less than I know I am, you're not worthy of my time and attention, and I'm going to be okay till I get somebody man enough to be a prince or a king. People going around looking for somebody hard. Man, man. Just looking for somebody hard. Oh, no, 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 no. He said, no. I'm going to bless you, my son. You have a special future. You are an extension of the covenant, and you have a tomorrow. But he was 40 years old. Let me give you a verse. Can I give you a verse? Deuteronomy 23, verse 5. Let me tell you what Deuteronomy 23, verse 5 says. God says this. Watch this now. It's good news. I will turn your cursing into a blessing. He says, I will turn your cursing into a blessing. And then he throws in a line. He says, because I love you. I'm going to turn this thing around. I'm going to turn what these years of cursings have been, and I'm going to turn that thing. If you will come under the umbrella, I can't change my umbrella, but if you'll come under my umbrella, I'm going to turn what all those years, the years that the locusts have taken away, the years that have been ripped off from you, where you were used and abused and messed over and forgotten, and even where you have sinned and walked away from me, if you come back under my covenant, under my umbrella, I will turn the curse. Yeah, I got some good news for you today. If you're here and you've never been blessed, you've been under a curse, your mama cursed you, your daddy cursed you, and you went out there and cursed yourself. He says, I can turn that thing around and I can turn a cursing into a blessing. Why? Because you and I have a birthright in the new covenant. In fact, let me tell you how sweet this birthright is. The Bible says in the book of Galatians that you and I are sons and daughters of Abraham. Oh, wait a minute now. I don't know if you caught that. Galatians says you and I are sons and daughters of Abraham. Well, let's go back to the Old Testament. God said, Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great and mighty nation. I want you to pass this on to Isaac. Isaac, God told me that I'm a great and mighty nation. You come out of me. Guess who you are, boy? You a great and mighty nation. Isaac tells Jacob, Jacob, God told my daddy, your granddaddy, he was a great and mighty nation. I'm a great and mighty nation because I came out of him. You came out of me. Guess who you are, boy? You a great mighty nation. Jacob has 12 sons. 12 sons, y'all are messed up. Sometime y'all jacked up. But I want you to know something. God told your great granddaddy Abraham, he's a great mighty nation. He told my dad Isaac that he was a great mighty nation. Isaac told me, I'm a great mighty nation. You 12 boys are going to be great and mighty nations. Those 12 boys became the 12 tribes of the son of Israel and established Israel. God then skipped over the covenant of Moses and re-picked up with Jesus Christ the covenant of Abraham. So that in the book of Galatians, he wants Christians to say, way back in the Old Testament, God told Abraham, you a great mighty nation, you special, you're going to be somebody. Abraham told Isaac, Isaac told Jacob, Jacob told his 12 sons, through Judah came Jesus Christ, who was a great mighty nation. You now have the birthright of Jesus Christ pulsating through your vein, which ties you back to Abraham. You are somebody. God has a blessing for you. He has a glorious future for you. You say, but things look so bad. Things look so terrible, I can't see the future. That's why the prayer of Jabez, you know, the prayer of Jabez from 1 Chronicles chapter 4 sold 20 million copies. A little teeny book. It sold 20 million copies. You know why? Because people trying to find out how to get blessed. So everybody was buying that little book. How can I get blessed? He said, Jabez said, Lord, bless me indeed. Let me tell you what Jabez means in 1 Chronicles 4. It means pain. The word Jabez means pain. It says, because I was born in pain, my mama named me Jabez. I don't know what her pain was. Maybe she didn't know who the baby daddy mama was. Maybe daddy left. Maybe she was poor. We don't know. We don't know all the idiosyncrasies of why. But for you to name your boy pain means you're going through some stuff. So Jabez means pain. And that means every time she calls him to eat, pain, your dinner's ready. Pain, time to go to school. Pain, time to do your housework. Pain, time to do your homework. Pain, it's time to come in and go to bed. Pain, 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 pain. All he did here all day long was pain. He got tired of having a life full of pain. And he looked up one day and said, Lord, bless me indeed. He didn't say bless me. He said bless me indeed. In other words, I was put here for more than this. I wasn't just put here to be pain, to be known as pain, to cause pain, to receive pain. I am here for something more than this. Bless me indeed. And then expand my territory. He says, give me room to handle all the indeed stuff you're going to send my way. Because I don't want to, watch this, I don't want to, don't miss this. I don't want to, you can't lose this. I don't want to lose out on anything you have for me. Everything you have for me, I want for me. So create the space in me to handle it. And he says, and then place your hand on me, because I can't do this without you. I can't make it without you. I'm not going to try to make it without you. I need you. Put your hand on me. Then he says, keep me from evil. Put a restraining order on the devil, because the devil's going to try to snatch it. The devil's going to try to trick me. The devil's going to try to detour me. He's going to try to get me to rebel against you. So keep the devil off my back so I can get everything that you have planned for me, because I want to be blessed. Indeed. I want all that you have for me. A bird one day was delaying in flying south. It should have flown south earlier, but it didn't. It delayed. The cold weather came in unexpectedly, and it was too cold for him to fly. He waited too long. He began to freeze, standing on a tree. He froze. It got so cold, and he froze so bad, he fell off the tree into the pasture, just shivering because it was so cold. And he couldn't fly because his wings were frozen. And all he saw was death. Oh, I wish I could turn back the time and done better when I should have. Oh, I wish I would have done better earlier. Oh, now my wings won't work and I can't even walk. And there's no hope and I'm going to die. He was in a hopeless situation. While he was freezing in the pasture, along came a cow. The cow came along and had to relieve itself. As the cow relieved itself, manure fell on the frozen bird. The frozen bird said, oh no, not only am I freezing, but now I'm in a mess. I'm freezing and I'm in a mess. I'm freezing and now everything around me is all stinky and messy. I can't fly and my whole stuff is messy. But as he was there, said, oh, I wish there was something that would happen that would show mercy to me in my frozen, messed up situation. He began to notice something, and that was that the manure was warm. He wasn't in a mess, he was in a hot mess. And the hot mess began to water down the ice. And all of a sudden, in a mess, the mess he was in, once he was willing to recognize the error he was in, began to melt him. He began to feel his wings begin to move. He began to be able to get up, and well, he's still in a mess, but he's in a different kind of mess, because now he's not in a stuck mess. He's in a mess where he can move. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you're in a frozen state and can't move, and if you're in a messy situation, God is so great and God is so good. He can turn your mess into a hot mess, and he can make it melt your circumstances, turn you around and get your wings up and flapping again so you can go somewhere and make something of your future. Somebody here wants to be blessed. Somebody here wants to see their tomorrows be better than your yesterday. Somebody here believes Jeremiah 29:11. I have a plan for you, saith the Lord, a plan for your well-being and not for your calamity, to give you a future and to give you a hope. I'm not talking about a car. I'm not talking about a house. I'm not talking about a bank account. That's the fruit. I'm talking about a future, a destiny, significance, meaning, purpose, power. That's what I'm talking. I wish I had time to preach. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a blessing for you and your future. Right now, if you're a man here and you're not sure you've ever been blessed. You say, but my father's not alive. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, then I was your father. And so right now, as your spiritual head of this house, as the father, I'm going to lay a blessing on every man who's willing to receive it. That your tomorrows will not be like your yesterdays. You may not have had a daddy before. You got one now. That your tomorrows are going to be better than your yesterday. Lord, right now, I pray a blessing on every man, whether he's had a father, didn't have a good father, whatever the situation is, that was yesterday. No matter what his age is right now, I declare that man blessed. I declare based on the word of God and the covenant of God that that man has a special future. That you have a purpose for that man's life. You have a position for that man's life. You're going to make provision for that position in that man's life. You're going to show him that he is a son of a living God, that he is a king in the making, and that you want to make of him somebody significant and special and unique. May he not now surrender to anything that makes him think other than a king thinks, to think other than a great man of God thinks, to think other than a man who follows his Lord Jesus Christ thinks. May that man leave here with saying, I have been blessed. I have had the mark of God put on me, and hell or high water is not going to take away my destiny, my future, where I'm going. I pray, Lord, that the power of God will be a blessing on that man's life, and that that man will say every day when he gets up in the morning, thank you, Jesus, for my future. Thank you, Jesus, for my destiny. Thank you, Jesus, for my provision. In the name of the risen Christ, every man here right now is blessed. And so to appreciate by faith that blessing, every man now is going to open up his mouth and praise God that he is blessed. Open up your mouth, men, and bless the name of the Lord, because God says you are blessed. God says you are significant. God says you have a future. God says you are substantive. God says that you matter. God says he's going to do something with you. God says that you are distinct and unique. You are blessed. And every day you get up, you remind yourself and remind your sons, we are a blessed family. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the fields. We are blessed. Why? Because we have a future given to us by God. Don't be too cute to praise him. Don't say I'm a man and I can't open up my mouth. If this was a football game and this were the Cowboys, you'd say, yay for the touchdown. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has blessed every man in this house. Ladies, I want you to get yours too, because you're a daughter of the living God. Say, Lord, thank you for blessing me. I trust you to give me what's mine. Thank you for my future. Thank you for my hope. Thank you for my plan. Thank you for what's coming to me. Thank you that I'm special. Thank you that I'm significant. Thank you for making me a queen. And may I not settle for anything that reduces me from being the queen that you've made me. Thank you that I can look forward to getting from you all that your will has promised to me, and I'ma follow you till my change come. Thank you, Jesus. Some lady ought to praise him right now that you've been blessed. That you've been blessed and that you've got a future. Give him glory right where you are, because you are somebody significant in the hand of the program of God. You've been blessed.